Wow, what a stark contrast Jesus gives us today, right? What was your initial response in hearing this gospel passage? Which of the two figures did you focus primarily on? Some of you were probably shocked by the arrogance and the conduct of the Pharisee, maybe even disgusted, and filled with a desire to despise and condemn him, a desire for justice. Right? This guy's outrageous. It's not okay. And some of you are probably heartened and amazed at the faith and humility of the tax collector. Maybe some of you experience both to varying degrees. But if you're anything like me, disgust for the Pharisee was the dominant and most immediate reaction. And this isn't necessarily a horrible thing. Jesus wants you to be reviled by this man's behavior. But he doesn't want you to despise him, just like the Pharisee despises other people, right? He sees himself as high and mighty and despises everyone else. Rather, Jesus wants you to have compassion on this Pharisee, who is a very lost and misguided individual, thinking that he's got it all together, but he's way off the beaten path, way off the path of Christ. He's even praying to himself. Did you catch that in the text? He's not praying to God, he's praying to himself. So this guy's really lost. But Jesus also wants you to see part of yourself in the Pharisee, because you and I have a need for ongoing conversion. And we always need to be aware of that. And so this brings us to the tax collector. As reviling as the Pharisee may be, Jesus wants us to be primarily moved by the tax collector's humble confession, his desire for conversion. He wants to grow closer to the Lord, but he knows that he's far away. Jesus always seeks to help us grow in humility, so that we first look into our own hearts and seek mercy, healing, and transformation before we critique others. Yet, we are experts in the opposite, aren't we, due to our wounded human nature. We easily see the faults in others, their shortcomings, but have difficulty recognizing and accepting our own constant need for God's mercy. Therefore, Christ reminds us, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Christian life is not merely about doing pious things. We are called to do pious things, to be sure. But if that's the center of our faith, then it's so easy to get lost, just like the Pharisee. Oh, I've done this many Hail Marys. I've done this many acts for the poor, you know, whatever it is. Then we become prideful. I've done so many more acts than you, so here, look at me. It's so easy to get lost, like the Pharisee, if that's how we live the faith. The Christian life is fundamentally about relationship with our God, which hinges on humility, not, of course, on pride. We see a lot of pride in the Pharisee. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds, Sirach teaches in today's first reading. Not the self-righteous prayer of the proud, but it's the prayer of the lowly, the humble ones, that pierces the clouds. This prayer does not rest, we heard, till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right. Remember from last week the necessity to pray always without becoming weary. Same thing going on here. And such prayer impacts us in two ways. It brings about justice against us, actually, for neglecting the poor, which we all do to varying degrees. We have the poor all around us, but we're not always forthright in reaching out to them. At the same time, though, if we cry out in our own poverty, we have to recognize it first and then cry out in our own poverty, which is primarily spiritual, God does hear and respond. Remember, again, last week, we had the persistent widow. She wasn't going to be denied. Same thing, God will respond, leading us deeper into relationship with him, into the mystery of his total self-emptying love, as his mercy transforms us and leads us out to selflessly serve others in and through him. And this brings about the fullness of justice. The fullness of justice. So justice is done against us, but then we're immersed into his love and it all becomes whole. Then we go out and draw others into his beautiful justice. It's a wonderful dynamic. Today's psalmist, which this is an excerpt from Psalm 34. Beautiful little number. I encourage you to check it out. The psalmist beautifully echoes this very same message, both aspects that we've been meditating on. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit, he saves. Talking about the lowly ones who are crying out. These are the prayers that pierce the clouds. This is our recognition that we need him. We need his mercy. We need conversion. The psalmist also continues, the Lord redeems the lives of his servants. So this is, we recognize our need for conversion. Then the Lord sends us out as his servants with selfless love, just like Christ embodies on the cross. Both of those two beautiful aspects of justice. The proper response to this marvelous, merciful love of our Lord is also revealed by the psalmist. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. We're meant to do this at all times. That helps us to keep our hearts open, to keep us humble, to always receive from the Lord. Now, St. Paul, who is writing to Timothy right near the end of his life here, the second letter of Timothy, he gives us an even more practical and entirely Christian response. The psalmist, of course, predates Christ by many centuries. Paul says, I am already being poured out like a libation. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Sounds like the Bobcats yesterday, right? And us fans that were there and still kind of hoarse from, you know, competing well, helping the team. Powerful and inspiring as this testimony of Paul is, it was not easy for him at all. Not at all. And he provides evidence of this all throughout his letters, including this second letter to Timothy. We hear of him elsewhere being shipwrecked, being stoned and left for dead, imprisoned I don't know how many times. He had a tough go. He had a tough go. But he always persevered. He always kept the faith. So in today's passage, we heard that he was left alone to defend himself. Yet he prays for those who abandon them. He's not condemning them. He prays for them. And of course, he knows that he was never really alone. In his own words, the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat. Not just every once in a while, not just on a hope and a prayer kind of a thing, but from every evil threat. Such wonderful confidence and trust Paul has in the Lord. And this is wonderful, inspiring stuff for us. Notice that the Lord does this for two reasons. To bring Paul safe to his heavenly kingdom, to lead Paul on the path to conversion, personal conversion. Secondly, but also so that through Paul the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. This is evangelization. Conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. And we see it revealed here as it is in so many other places. And again, look at Paul's amazing confidence that the Lord is going to come through. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. That's us, all who have longed for his appearance. So yes, this crown of righteousness awaits us too. But note that it only comes from God. And it only comes to those of us who compete well, who fight this good fight of faith, along with St. Paul. Therefore, friends, long for our Lord at every moment and pursue his righteousness without fail. Without fail. Coming to him in all humility, seeking to grow in relationship. Not seeking a quick fix. Seeking relationship with him. This will no doubt be a struggle at times, but hang in there. Just like any committed athlete, and we honor many committed athletes, right? compete well, finish the race, keep the faith. Praise the Lord, not yourself. Remember the Pharisees, he's praising himself. Praise the Lord at all times, trusting that he is indeed hearing and answering your prayers. Then you will go home justified, as Jesus says, full of his peace and joy, walking in the glorious freedom of the children of God in this life, and be exalted in the life to come. And now let us close by returning to today's opening prayer, which encapsulates all of this in a very succinct and beautiful way. Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise.